Okay, anyways, okay, fine. Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze. Let's start early in the parsha. Perech of Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph says the pasuk Vayifka Bamakum Vayilan Sham Vikivah Shemesh Vaykach Meavne Amakom Vayisem Roshav Eshkap Amakom Ahu. He was over there. Right, Vayifka Bamakum. Pasuk Pshat is he encountered there. He ended up. He arrived there. He got there. So he ended up reaching there. But Rashi explains over there, Vayifga, what's the pshat in Vayifga? The pshat is he wanted to Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Lashon Tfila, right? Kimo Valtifka B and Yirmiya and Vilamanu, Shatika and Tfilas Arvis. Right, so we know. So it says the pasuk says by Gaba Makom. Yaakov Avinu was metaken Tfilas Mariv as brought down in the Gemara in Brachos Adaf Chavav Amud Beis. So a couple questions on just the way this whole parsha opens up. Why does Rashi understand Vayifga as a lashon of tefillah? Why don't you just use the just more pashup shot? A lot of times Rashi likes to say Rashi kipshuto, simple Rashi. Why do you have to be more complex? Number two, what is this whole So Yaakov made was metaken mariv. So what? What does it have to do with us? Why here? Why now? What is my kesher? Question number three is overall, right in the rest of that Gemara, the rest of Rashi, all over, we know the Avos are connected. The three Avos are connected to Tfilos. The three Tfilos throughout the day. Avram was Metakin Shacharis, Yitzchak was Metakin Mincha, and Yaakov obviously was Metakin Mariv. So what exactly is the Kesher? The fact that we daven. How in the world is that connected to the overall attitude that somehow connected to the Avos? After all, they established the tefillahs which we're supposed to say, but it still has nothing to do with it was a different type of tkufa back then. There were a different period of time, like lamashal, almost like the tefillah of, like, let's say v'lu Yerushalayim, bonei Yerushalayim. We pray to Kosh Baruch Hu, that he should rebuild the Beis Hamikdash to bring Mashiach. There was never even Bayis Rishon back in those days. So what exactly is the... How exactly, is the connection of the Tfilos back in the days of the Avos connected to us? So to answer this, just one yesod. Rav Elia Lapian, Zatzal, the former Mashkiach of Kfar Hasidim. I think there's there's a famous story once with... I think Rav Ganz many years ago, before they even before there was even any Nofi loan, when there was just Shalvim. So the only way to get to Yerushalayim and to get out of Shalvim wasn't through where the Kikar is and where the gate is. You had to go through the other way through Mishmarai alone. And that was sometimes, in order to get out, there weren't so many cars, also you have to wait for a very long time for tramps. People would have to wait, sometimes for hours, just for a tramp, just to even just get to Mishmarai alone. Forget about, to Yerushalayim. So I think once a Rav Ganz got a tramp with his lawyer, and it was Mamash Tiat Nishmai, and the lawyer was telling him that he's a Talmud Rav Elia Lapian. And he spoke to him that day, and he was, because this guy apparently made it like a Kabbalah that he wanted to always do one Maisa Chesed every day, and Bekitzer, it wasn't working out. But then and somehow Rav Ganz said, Baruch Hashem, the last Yad Hashem that you came here to help me with a tramp. And the lawyer responded to him, it's actually the last Yad Hashem that I was Zochet to uphold my Kabbalah and to continue to do at least one Maisa Chesed every day. But anyways, Rav Lupian explains that the pshat is it has to do with the purpose of tefillah. This is something that we sort of connected to what we spoke about, something that we sort of spoke about last week, right? We spoke about in Derech Hashem we brought down the whole purpose really of tefillah is not about just asking for things. Rather, sometimes it's just about achieving kirbas Hashem. And how do we learn this here also? Is that before the Avos were metaken tefillos, or even nowadays, it's hard to get close with God. like people sometimes have, like, you know, sometimes people, like, there's different types of rebbeim in, like, yeshiva, like, you know, you know, I'm able to connect him a lot more. I'm able to get close to this rebbe more. I'm able to get closer to that meshiv or that mashkiach or that madrich or that rosh kol or that posek a lot more than, you know, other ones. But like, to get close with God, like, it's kind of hard. It's not like, you know, you don't really hear him speaking to you, and it's just not so posh. The avos were mitaken a certain lashon that it was almost like a matir. It almost like allowed us. It gave us, you know, exclusive access to sort of, you know in order for us to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's hard to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, what are you supposed to speak about? Like politics, sports. Obviously not, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a certain level of Kedusha. He's the creator of the world. You know, he's full of Kedusha and Tahara. You're not going to speak to him about that. But then to just, like, you know, to sort of, like, just, like, go over to him and, like, what, like, start chazering, like, the Raj, like, chazering the Kiyas and, like, the Rajma from today's Shir. That's, okay, oh, I want to try and get Kedusha and Tahara. You can't exactly do that. That's because that's just weird. Rather, the Avos were metaking a certain lashon that allowed us, you know, in a very relatable way also to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, they wanted to give us a certain language, a certain format in which we can relate to. You know, tefillos, you know, that are shayach to us, you know, certain ideas that are going on in our life that are applicable. Sometimes, you know, we see people, like, people have a certain taina. You know, it's hard for me to connect to davening because, like, you know, I don't really need these things, you know, like... All I want is, you know, in my favorite football team to make the playoffs. So I don't really see that anywhere in Shmona Esrei. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, my friend, you know, invites me to, I don't know, to his mansion in a lot for Shabbos that's like by the water or something. But like, I don't really see that at all, like in, let's say, Shmona Esrei or whatever. So the truth is, you know, those are obviously extreme examples. But in terms of day-to-day practicalities, if a person really, you know, figures out what are the things that he needs in life, the certain things that he wants in life, if he goes through the tefillos, the truth is, if you look carefully, you look closely, and you're medayik, you can actually find each certain things that are applicable in your life that you want, you need, are actually right there in front of you. You just have to say it, and you just have to mean it with kavana. And that's really also the pshat in terms of vayifka, for the lashon of, you know, that he really arrived there, he got there, he encountered there. It's the tefillos, this special lashon that you use, is that the tefillos should be magia, the tefillos should arrive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those tefillos, you know, it's a good lashon that you're using. It's a relatable lashon. It's a lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear. A certain type of lashon that's going to actually make its way to the Kisei HaKavod. And this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear it. It'll be considered a normal conversation between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, it also makes sense in terms of, you know, the fact that, you know, Yaakov had to deal, you know, with his, you know, Avram had to deal, you know, with his, you know, tefillos, you know, reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he was more of a morning person, right? But Yashkev Avram Baboker, right, to do the Akedah, the Yesod Uzriz Matim Lemitzis, we spoke about that. And Yitzchok was Mincha, but Yaakov was Marif, right, the Arvit, that, you know, why? Because Marif's at night. At night, it's dark. Yaakov's life was full of chayim shalafela. It was a life of darkness and so many difficulties that he had. He was constantly on the how many enemies did he accumulate? How he had to be, he was on the run from left and right. You know, and even earlier in his life, later in his life, we're going to learn later on in Sefer Bereishis about all the different sorrows regarding the fights within his sibling, within his children, and what happened to Dina, what happened to Yosef, and all these years of suffering and people in his family dying, you know. But ultimately, you know, it's that davening that, you know, sort of, you know, connected to him. It sort of helped that, it gave him that emuna that, you know, to sort of connect to God. It's a yesod in tefillah. It's a combo of tefillah and emuna. Tefillah is one of these things in which, you know, if you know, it's one of the only things which isn't going to let you down, even if the rest of the world is at the moment. things just aren't just going your way, you know, you're just not, it's not working out. So I'm like, you know, but you just have a bad day, but you have a bad week or something. Still, there's always, you know, a person that's the level of Amunah is that no matter what the situation is, you can always turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, and actually open up. Because those tefillos that the avos were metaking, that the avos came up with, those are tefillos in which that can reach the Kisak Kavod, that can reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's an important idea, both a combo of tefillah and emunah. So Adkan, idea number one. Idea number two. Later on in the parsha, where the stories get even more interesting, right back to our whole shidduch series as we've been speaking about the past couple weeks. We have another one, Yaakov and Rachel, or at least that's what we think, or at least that's what Yaakov thought. It was Yaakov. He was destined to marry Rachel, right? The deal was going to work for 7 years. Then he was going to marry Rachel, and all was going to be good. So what happened? So they ended up right. So after the night of the wedding, Yaakov woke up. Vayhi, it says the pasuk Perach Chavtes pasuk Chavhei. Vayhi baboker vihinehi Leah. It was the morning and. Yeah, it was very awkward. It wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. Vayomer Lavan, and so he said, "Lavan, mazel sasisa lo lo v'rachel avadati imach." V'lama remitani. I don't say, why did you trick me? We had a deal. A deal was a deal, and now all of a sudden, you know, it was nighttime. You know, our wedding didn't have you know fireworks or one of those like massive like those like stadium lights. So I didn't really see who I was marrying. You know, we all know the famous Rashi, those chazals, and there were different simonim, and that was, Yaakov was expecting some type of trickery, but he was pretty prepared. But yet still, he ended up getting deceived by Lavan, and he ended up with Leah, and Rashi says over there, "Avah balay lo haisa Leah." He didn't write lefisha masu Yaakov leRachel simanu kisharol Rachel leshemachnis as Leah amrachsham tachlim osi amad masu alol some simanim. He didn't know the whole time. He didn't know. It was only up until the morning. It wasn't even like right after the nisuin, like boom. Oh wow! I just made a massive mistake. You know, married Leah instead of Rachel. It was only post facto. So, what I want to focus on is really in terms of the godless of Rachel, maybe. The fact that the yisod in which the simon that were given over Yaakov because they were expecting certain trickery. But still, when Rachel heard about Lavan's plan that he was going to switch her, he was going to sub her out and sub Leah in to marry Yaakov, she obviously didn't want Leah to be embarrassed, so she informed Rachel informed her sister Leah that guess what, there's going to be a certain test before you know Yaakov fully seals the deal, and you should know that I want to prepare you with a couple of simanim. But a couple things that I want to focus on in terms of the idea, the godless of Rivka. Number one, Rivka knew, it was known, that Yaakov was going to be the Av Hashvatim. He was going to be the Abba, he was going to be the dad of Klal Yisrael, father of Klal Yisrael. Came from such lineage, it was known. It was known there's going to be three Avos. Avram, Yitzchak. The world knew that Esav was a pretty big Rasha. So it was going to be Yaakov. It was known. And he was going to be with the Shvi, it was going to be three of us, and he was going to start the Shvatim, and this was going to be the start of the real expansion of Klal Yisrael. Avram really started Klal Yisrael, but there were small families. This is the beginning of the expansion of the Shvatim to what we know to this very day. And still, she realized that, and also. So she gave that up. She also was unaware. Who knew that Lavan for sure was going to say Lavan easily should have just told Yaakov, okay, you picked the wrong girl. That's it. Goodbye. None of this another 7 year shtick. So Rachel didn't know that Lavan was going to give her as well 7 years later. So she even then she still took the risk. Three, She didn't even know if Yaakov would have been willing to either A, work another 7 years for her, or B, even just marry, you know, another woman. Right? There's the whole pilpul regarding the Avos kept calling her a kula. Weren't they sisters? Is her to marry? There's a famous Rambam, right? It's on his game that the outsider tzral. So maybe you hold the Rambam l'shitah. So that all the mitzvahs that we do in Chutz Laaretz aren't exactly a kiyum, but rather just a practice. So maybe there's room to answer. But still, she didn't know for sure that Yaakov was willing to marry her. And ultimately, also, the last idea is that she was mivater on the opportunity to be the mother of Klal Yisrael, right? If it would have been her and not Leah, Yaakov would have never married Leah. It would have never been, you know, all these, you know, different wives and Yishvat. It would have just been Yaakov and Rachel. Like, that would have been it, probably. But ultimately, the fact that Leah went first ended up having six out of the twelve Yishvatim. So there's a lot to Rachel put a lot on the line. It was a very risky move. Yet still, she ended up doing this. Why? Because apparently there's a yesod based on the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudam Beis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Va'amri lo amar Rav Chana bar Bizna amar Rav Shimon Chasida va'amri lo amar Rav Yochanan mishim Rav Shimon bar Yochai Noach lo le'adam sheyapil atzma l'soch kivshan ha'esh va'al yalbim bifnei chavero berabim. It's better if a person should, you know, jump in or just, you know, put himself into, you know, a fiery furnace to just, you know, just burn, you know, burn himself alive, then to, you know, embarrass his fellow friends in public. So we see this big yesod that's what it was based on. But however, regarding the yesod of embarrassing other people, the bigger chiddush is that Rachel wasn't even chayiv in this. Why? She wasn't in the actual thing of, let's say, when we speak about that Gemara, let's speak about embarrassing someone, you know, in public. Right, I have an opportunity to, you know, to make a really, you know, inappropriate joke that'll end up putting you down in front of a lot of people. Me actively embarrassing you there, and that regarding that case, the Gemara says, you know, instead of me ripping on you in public and making a whole embarrassment out of this, you know, I'm better off just killing myself. Rachel was in such a passive manner. She was not a baldover in the scene. It was Yaakov. If anything, it was Yaakov that really had the chiyuv, you know, to just say, you know what, okay, I get it. You're probably not Rachel. Laban's trying to trick me, but, you know, instead of embarrassing you, I'll just get married to you, and like that'll be it. Or maybe even Laban himself, because Laban was the one who sort of concocted this whole plan. But Rachel, again, that's the chiddush. She wasn't even chayiv in this idea of, you know, not embarrassing, because it wasn't an active manner. And on top of that, we just spoke about all the things that she was mevater on, all the things that, you know, she potentially could have, you know, forewent, all the opportunities that she had, and still did it. And so what's the job? Why did she do this? Because the yesod is, it was all L'shem Shamayim. She represented L'shem Shamayim. Sometimes it doesn't matter, you know, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do, what you have to do, what's mutter, what's usser. Sometimes it's just about, you know, just doing things, you know, for its own sake, just doing things because, you know, that's probably what God would want you to. Lav dafka, you know, it's written in Shulchan Aruch for you that, you know, this is what you particular have to do. But still, it's just doing things for its own sake. You're just doing things, you know, because you love God, you want to represent this Torah in the best way. You want to represent Him in the best way possible. And from this Revolbi, great Mashkiach, he says, you know, how do you know someone? What's a good litmus test for, you know, to know if someone's really lishma, someone's really shem shemayim or not? A lot of times in the area of Bein Adam L'Chavero, you know, sometimes, you know, if a person will prevent himself from doing certain things or from advancing in certain things, or, you know, to, you know, accepting certain opportunities, if it's going to come at the expense of causing pain to someone else, Why? Because that shows proper midos. That shows, you know, you're representing similar. You have similar ideas to the avos and the imos. That shows that you're a mamshich. You're someone that's continuing the foundation of Klal Yisrael. That bases itself off of, you know, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for its own sake, for no other reward, no other, you know, ulterior motives or no other intentions. And, you know, because it's just such an important yisod about just trying to just do the right thing. Remember my tenth grade Rebbe used to always tell me, when you do the right thing, you'll never lose out. 10 out of 10 times, you just won't lose out if you do the right thing. It happened like once, like, you know, I remember a while ago, I needed to go somewhere Thursday night, had to be caretaker for something, and so it was pretty late. I needed like a tram to like get out. It's actually maybe some two other friends or something, either maybe I had to go to like maybe someone's wedding or something like that. Or we were going to meet up with someone, but Lemaisa, it was me and two other people, and then me and two friends, and then there was also just another guy that showed up after us at the tramp spot in order to get a tramp, and he needed to go to Neriah. Neriah is past Kiryat Sefer, which is it's closer to the Shomron. And it's late at night, and like he probably, you know, was going to probably take him like a while to get home, and so there's a car that stopped and said that they had three spots that were going to Shilat, which is a couple minutes away from Kiryat Sefer, which is also on the way to Neriah. But the driver said, I'm stopping at Shilat, but I'm ultimately going to Neriah at the end of the day. So ideally, you know, this guy was super pumped. Because boom, you have an 11 o'clock at night. The guy's trying to get home. You know, a place which is not so posh to get to, especially in the middle of the night. You know, it's not the safest of areas where that individual lives. You know, and ideally, we had every right to, you know, just say, I'm here, sorry. Hopefully, get a trip. Hopefully, get a ride. We're going. We were here first, and we also have to get somewhere. But Lemaisa, you know. Sort of felt bad for the guy, you know. It could have been. It was a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I told my two friends, "You guys get in the car. This person who needed to get to that place in Neriah, go and whatever. I'll figure it out. I'll end up meeting you there, whatever." So they ended up going, whatever. 2 minutes later, the next car that pulls by, the next car literally that pulls up, you can't make this up. These types of stories. The car pulls up, says going to Kiryat Sefer. Get in the car, end up picking up the other guys. They're waiting for me at Shilat. I couldn't believe the story. Boom, made it to Kiryat Sefer, made it back, no problem. Just certain ideas, just day in and day out of just, you know, just trying to do the right thing, and just quote unquote, you know, trying to be, you know, trying to be sensitive to others. Also, that's another idea that it's a major takeaway also from here. The sense of sensitivity, whether it be the slightest comments, you don't really know what every person's situation is. I know guys that live amongst each other and they're quote unquote boys and they're, you know, they feel like they know each other, but you know, you don't really know what's going on in every single person's life. So that's why I'd be very, very sensitive regarding the things that you do to someone, the things that you say to someone. You don't know what exactly really offends people. So I'd kind of idea number two. Idea number three with this we'll conclude is something that a couple took in before that. At the end of the whole countering where Yaakov and Bedel says the pasuk ve'even azos asher samti matzev yiyeh beis elokim v'chol asher titenle aser aserenu loch. I shall told the Kadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to give you meiser. I'm going to give you meiser, and this we know from here that Yaakov didn't right there the Medrash brings down that Yaakov didn't just give meiser regarding his his property, right? It's halakha. You're supposed to give 10% of your earnings, to donate to the Kadosh Baruch Hu or to the Tzedakah. There's different types of Meiser Ani, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Rishon, Truma. There's different types of donations, but 10% Meiser. He didn't just give 10% of his nechassim. Rather, he gave also 10% of his own children to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gave Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi he gave to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the obvious kasha? Duh. 12 children. Says you're mechavin to the Medrash. Says the Medrash. Ayin Os Zayin. Va'eben azos shesad matzev yiyah beis elokim ha'shekol shetitin li asirat asrenim. So there's a story. The Medrash brings down a story. Kusi echad. There was a kusi. A goy. Shalas Remeir, yes Remeir. Amar lo, einatem omrim Yaakov amiti dechsiv titein emes liyakov. Amar lo, hey, Remeir said, yeah, avada. We know Yaakov his specialty was emes. He was the real deal. He would never lie in the slightest bit. He wouldn't cheat. He was very honest. So I don't understand. So Amar lo, the lo kach Amar v'kol asher titein li aser aseranu lecha. Amar lo, hey. So what's the obvious question? Oh, Yaakov says, I'm going to donate 10%. You're cheating, Yaakov. You donated 1/12, not 1/10. So, right? For anyone higher math, 1/12 is how much percent? Less than 10, for sure. Somewhere in the 8, about 8%, give or take. 8%. 8.275. Well, machlokas now. I hear. Okay. So what's going on? So let's continue the medrash. So Amar lo kachul rashi tinlin right Amar lo hein Amar lo hifrish shifto shel Levi echad me'asara lama lo hifrish echad me'asara shneim shvat macherim Amar lo b'chi yud beis hein. He Remei responded to the kusi. He said, you know what? You should have asked a stronger question. Forget about 1/12. The Valo, you Dalid. Aren't there 14 Shvatim? Hein Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvein and Shimon Yuli. Right? We know the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Vayechi says that Ephraim and Menashe were Ki'il like Reuven and Shimon. They were also part of, you know, the tribe. So really there were 14. So Amar lo Ein. Right? So it's really 1/14. So he responds. You know what? So here's the cheshbon. So we have to just try to focus in on the cheshbon. So initially the kasha is 1/10, but it's really 1/12. But it's really 1/14. Now it's cheshbon out. Says the medrash. Says the mayor. There's 14 children. But how many imahos are there? 4. And let's say like this. If there's 4 imahos, that means there are 4 bechoros. 4 bechoros instantly are makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. So that leaves us with 10 left. Says Ramirez, there you go. There's your cheshbon. 10 children. Levi was 1 out of the 10. And there's your meiser. There's your meiser, and therefore, and that's your ride, that Kadosh Baruch Hu.
4 imahos and what?
4 imahos, and each one of them had a bechor. Allah is right in kachim. You donate the bechor. It's supposed to go to the sukkahs and bechoros and kachim. They become consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. Consecrated to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's exactly what happened here. So you had 10 left. And that's the pshat that Levi was the 1 out of 10 to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, that was the one who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that was the one who Yaakov gave all the Chachmas HaTorah. As we know, this happened in Mitzrayim. We know even to Bizman Hazeh, Shevet Alevi, Shevet Alevi is very chash. So from here, right, we see this inyan of, right, again, of, you know, just, you know, donating, right, Nechasim. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal here adds. And also we see another idea. Not only is a person obligated to donate a tenth of his Nechasim, his property, but also a person is obligated to donate a tenth of his time to worthy causes. The fact that he gave Levi, the Shevet Levi devoted his life, what Moshe Feinstein brings down, there's a chiyah for a person to also donate a tenth of his time. to worthy causes. Because time is something that's also very valuable. Just like, you know, a person's nechassim. A person has a big, big, big estate. $1 million. Supposed to, you know, he makes $1 million. Supposed to give away 100,000. Time is priceless. Story, there's a famous story with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, one of the Gedolim in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He had his oldest son, Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, who was Rosh Yeshiva in South Shore, who was nifter a couple years ago. For his bar mitzvah, he gave him a watch. He said, "Bini, my son, take this. This is the great time. Is the greatest gift. It's something you can never. Something you can never get back. Certain things. I don't. You're able to get. You wait to get back. You have an opportunity. Certain time. Time doesn't come again. Time doesn't wait for anyone. It just goes. It's very precious. That's something also that's the idea which you're supposed to be mechazik in. Get some chizik from. Is that understanding the value of time, maximizing our time, and again, devoting our time to proper and worthy causes. Whether it be both inside the base managers, but also, again, donating our time to other causes. But again, causes which, you know, are worth it for, you know, our time. Well, every single person here, their time here, all you guys, your time is very precious. Whether it be this year, next year, years to come, it goes quick. It goes very quick already. December, Chodesh Kislev, boom. So it's very important. With this yesod of, you know, right, the devotion of time and the realization of the value of time. And with the other yesodus which we spoke about regarding the yesodus of the moon and tefillah, and the last yesod, that other yesod of being l'shem shemayim, and the last yesod for, and that other yesod of Moshe Feinstein, which these are ideas in which hopefully we can gain a lot of chizuk from. Have a wonderful night.